What a night for the Dodgers. I thought about John Ireland and Jorge when it was going down.
Oh, man. Well, let me first say that, and the phones are open for the whole day.
Yes.
877-710-ESPN. And Jorge and I deserve all of the crap that we are going scorn. To get today.
Come you deserve scorn.
Shame. Shame. If we were on Game of Thrones, we'd be walking naked down the plaza with people yelling shame
at
us.
That's an ugly image.
Yeah, come but, at me. But.
Come at me, says Jorge.
Okay, so we've been, Mason and I have been together for a long time. We first started doing shows together in the mid-90s.
Yes.
We have spewed a lot of crap over the years.
Yep.
Yesterday, basically, Jorge and I were 3 hours of crap, and none of it was right. All right? But.
Shame.
Shame. We deserve shame.
Shame.
Morales kind of handicapped it there.
Yep.
I've never seen predictions like this. First of all, 2 days ago, when Mason was driving to the game, we all bet on what time he would arrive.
Yep.
I said 5:19. Jorge said 6:12. Bergman said 5:32. Mason pulled into the Dodger Stadium parking lot at exactly 5:32.
Oh, Bergman was on it.
Now, that was two nights ago.
Yep.
Now, listen to this clip. Chris highlighted it, but I'm going to play it again. This was Bergman on yesterday's show. So this was 24 hours ago, exactly what he said.
Go all in, Mace. Just go all in. 11-2. 11-2. It's going to be a beatdown tonight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. 3-2. I think I'm going to hold my breath at the end when Kenley Jansen strikes out the sign.
Big W.
The exact.
Big W.
Yeah. The exact final score.
Wow.
Dodgers 11, Braves 2.
Genius.
Greg, go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, right now.
Seriously,
like
right
today.
Now.
You should leave now and go to Vegas.
All right, see you guys.
Or go on the Price is Right
Get
or
that
something.
Mega lotto
those
ticket,
are two,
man.
The, I don't know, like those odds dudes. I don't know what the odds are of you nailing the exact minute, but they're probably like 1,000,000 to 1. And then the exact score on the next day is probably 1,000,000 to 1. I've never seen anything like this.
I got into my DeLorean and I went and I got the almanac.
Yeah, you're
nice. Got into the DeLorean.
He's like,
I like
remember
that.
There was that TV show years and years ago, Kyle Chandler, who later went on to do Friday Night Live.
Yeah, morning.
It was
early
called
edition.
Early Edition, where he would get a newspaper a day before everything that was already going to happen. Greg. Seriously, man. Have you ever done that?
That's
2 days in a row like that?
I've never gotten one right before. You talk about get two of them right in
Those
2 days.
Those are insane. I mean, Jorge and I could not have been more wrong. I'm not trying to like divert our wrongness.
Oh yeah.
We'll get
to
all that.
Yeah, whoa.
I can't wait for the phone calls to come in,
we'll
screaming at YouTube.
Yeah, we deserve it. Yeah. We deserve all
venom.
The shame
venom.
And scorn and venom. But.
And by
Bergman,
the way,
I don't want to bury the lead here, man. Those are two of the. I've been doing this 30 years. I've never seen a guy nail two predictions on consecutive days like you did. That is absolutely unbelievable.
Can we look, Bergman, genius? Can we
get back to you? Get
back to Mason.
Chris Taylor would be the player of the game.
I was getting to that next, but you did. Here's what you didn't do. You could have literally.
That money on it.
You could have locked up mythical money for the year.
Yes.
Had you, they dared you to bet, and I would have given you odds. I would have given, like, if you would have been 10, I would have given you 10 to 1, because you're picking one of 20 guys.
Yes, right, true. Right.
This is exactly how that went down yesterday.
Give me Chris Taylor for the big moment tonight.
Ooh, how much?
I've already got $20,000 mythical dollars on the game. I'm not betting anymore.
That's still pretty good, Mace, that you nailed Chris Taylor. But, man, had you been willing to put your money where your mouth is, mythical money would
imagine?
Be over. Would be over.
Four
but still,
for five,
you get credit.
Three bombs.
Yeah, you get credit for the great prediction. And, hey, I'll tell you the one thing that I learned. I don't know if they're going to pull this out. Well, first of all, Mace, let me ask you, because you've been, like, do you actually believe that they're going to go to Atlanta and win two games, or are you trying to see credit? Like, because they lost
trying to see credit. Yes.
Yeah. Now they lost another guy. They lost Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
So
I love Scherzer in that spot tomorrow. Now, my
hasn't attitude, been great his last four starts.
I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. Yesterday, I said you only have to win one game.
And I hope that's the way they're looking at Saturday.
Tomorrow,
too.
You only have to win one game. You can't think about we need two in a row. You have to just think we only need one game. And if I need one game, and I look at the pitching staff and the way they're throwing right now, and I know Scherzer said he had a dead arm after coming out of the bullpen and all that stuff, and only threw four and a third in his start in game two. You know what? Give me Scherzer tomorrow. I like him on full rest.
I think, you know, pitchers get dead arms all the time.
Yes.
So it could go either way. But.
And by the way, he attributed the dead arm to the fact that he threw for the save in game five of the NLDS against the Giants. And he said, you know, it's just two different skills. He actually talked about this. It's two different skills. I didn't realize that pitching out of the bullpen was going to take so much out of me. Now, he hasn't pitched out of the bullpen going into tomorrow's start. He's on full rest. I feel good about Scherzer being Scherzer.
Who's pitching for them?
Tomorrow's Ian Anderson, who only lasted three games against us in game two.
You mean three innings?
Three innings against us in game two. Gave up the Corey Seager home run. Gave up three runs in two innings in that game. Three runs in three innings in that game. So, yeah, Ian Anderson struggled against
us. It's almost as if the starting pitchers have become irrelevant.
Isn't it?
Now, and by the way, momentum is, I no longer believe in momentum.
I agree with you.
After Cody Bellinger hit that home run, the Dodgers had all the momentum, and the Braves came out and crushed them. And then, so you figure the Braves had all the momentum last night, and the Dodgers came out and crushed them. It means nothing. Every game is its own entity.
Yep, I completely agree with you. We thought the Braves would have momentum coming out of two walk-offs. Dodgers win. Cody Bellinger, the three-run bomb. You think the Dodgers have momentum.
Right.
The Braves win.
But this was... I mean, you may never see this again. Mace, I'm so glad you were there for it. This is a mashup of basically the Chris Taylor show.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, in the ninth...
Swing and a high fly ball. Left field, way back, and you can't forget it. Chris Taylor unloads. Swing and a ball drilled center field. Duvall back, turning, looking, out of here. Chris Taylor having a night. Swing and a high fly ball out towards left center field. On its way, he's done it again. Third homer of the night for Chris Taylor.
Now, Mace, were you aware?
I think I have this right, John. That is the first guy to hit three home runs in an elimination game in baseball history. That's at least that's what I read today. Is that correct, Greg?
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah, I read that in Andy McCullough's piece. That was an unbelievable night, and I was sitting there in the eighth inning, and Seager was up again, and nobody has ever hit four home runs in any playoff game.
Were you aware
of
that? Do you think the stadium was aware of that when he came to bat in the eighth?
There was a lot of buzz when he came up in the eighth inning. I think, just the idea of four home runs. People were absolutely rooting for Taylor to hit that fourth home run, which would have been, you know, that's one of the rarest. We always talk about no hitters. We talk about hitting for the cycle. We talk about perfect. Four home run games are unbelievably rare. And we were all sitting there thinking, maybe.
He got a couple of good swings at it, too.
Oh, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was
they were talking on the TV broadcast that there are a few times in your career where you do come, you normally, it's terrible advice to come to the plate and swing for a home run. You hardly ever can pull it off. But they all agreed. Jeff Francoeur and Ron Darling and Brian Anderson all said, this is a time where you do it. You just swing from your heels and see if you can get lucky. And
11 runs on 17 hits. And there were so many good
signs. By the way,
a
Los Angeles Dodger record, the 17 hits. That's a postseason record.
There you go. The other, you know, some of these guys that have been struggling, like Trey Turner, who had been 334 OPS, went 3-for-4 last night. Bellinger continues 3-for-4 last night. Pollock had a gigantic game, two home runs for him. I mean, there's a lot of reason to think that the Dodgers – now, this is the one thing I'll say. I don't believe in the momentum thing anymore because we've seen that in this series. I do believe there's such a thing as bats getting hot. And I think the Dodgers' bats have gotten hot at exactly the right time, at exactly the moment they need him.
All right, so Alex Zatarian. Is that Alex who works here, Greg?
Yeah, Alex actually wrote a really nice article about me for Jason Barrett.
All right, he just tweeted, we got to be fair here. Sure, expecting a big game from CT3 is one thing, but he still hit the nail on the head. 11-2?
Yeah, no, it's
crazy. Man, that's witchcraft.
Yeah,
Bergman,
that is
witchcraft.
That's like selling your soul to the devil.
That's like going on a roulette, walking up to a roulette table and just picking like all of it on 24 red.
I wish I was in Vegas
coming up 24 red.
Never works that way.
Just, and by the way, it wasn't even a traditional baseball score.
No.
It wasn't like you said 5-3 or 3, like Mason said 3-2.
7-1, I said 3-2.
You're just out of your ass. You pull out 11-2.
Well, because look.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
If they were going to win, they were going to put together a string of hits.
Why 11-2? I mean, I don't know. Do you even know where that came from?
I knew they were going to go big.
You were at where it was 11-2?
Wasn't there an 11-2 game earlier in the playoffs?
I don't know.
Didn't the Dodgers already win 11-2?
It's the greatest prediction of any time. I've been on probably 20 different iterations of sports radio talk shows over the years. I've never had anybody do what you did. And you did it 2 days in a row.
Crazy. It was that extra two because it was 5:32, 11-2. You know, I had to add that in
there.
I knew they were
going to
put together some runs. If they were going to win,
Greg,
they were going to put together runs.
I am dead serious. If you don't stop on your way home and buy lottery tickets,
yeah,
you're a fool.
Really.
You're just
you know
fool.
What? That's a really good call.
Yeah, and you don't even
have
to.
Which one should I get? Like,
by the way,
$5,
$20? You don't even have to buy a lot. I would get like whatever the cheapest one is and just pick your numbers.
$11 worth. 11 to 2.
Oh, yeah.
On $2 ones? All right.
Matter of fact, can I go in? Well, how about this? I'll pay for the lottery ticket.
And we split it?
And I think everybody would jump in on you right now. Bergman, I'm going to give you $10.
Okay.
What do lottery tickets cost?
I don't know the answer.
All right. Brianna's in 10. Mace, I'll give you 10 for Mason also. So all four of us will be in it. We'll give you $30. Buy $30 lottery tickets, and then you just pick the numbers.
And
just
win.
Random numbers.
Yeah.
And win.
And whatever you win, we split it four ways. Okay?
Yep.
Done.
All right. There we go.
I like this. I like that.
You know, one of the other notes from yesterday, I was going through the notes from yesterday, and this is one of the things I said yesterday. Don't be afraid to throw Trinan or Gratterall for multiple innings. They did that last night. Incredibly smart. Dave, I thought, manipulated the bullpen. At one point, I said, okay, I say Trinan for two, but who do they throw in the eighth? And you fired back immediately with the right answer. Which was Corey Knebel, who came in the eighth, and then Kenley in the ninth.
I wasn't even sure they were going to take Trinan out. And Gratterall didn't necessarily. Matter of fact, he hit Gratterall, which was I think he just had a brain cramp.
And then
Gratterall only had thrown
anyway.
14 pitches. Yeah, because if you're going to hit him there, you hit someone else. And if you don't want to burn one of your bench guys, you at least give Urias a bat and tell him to go hit because he's a better hitter than Gratterall.
Because I think the game was still 7-2 at that point.
And so Bellinger had stolen second, was already in scoring positions. I think Dave just had a brain cramp. But like I heard people calling Travis and Slee saying, Dave Roberts is killing us. He's going to cost us. What are you morons talking about? Dave Roberts is deep into the postseason every single year. And if he screwed up with the Gratterall thing, what difference does it make? You won 11-2. Jorge and I were wearing black. We had already pronounced it a funeral.
Yeah, you had said a funeral. You said this.
And you guys are complaining.
The lineup was going to be a pallbearer.
Yeah.
You played This Is the End.
And then, and by the way, then when Kelly went down,
yes.
I'm like, oh my God, it's just not their year. It reminded me of the year, and you know, this was a Laker game, so I had to pick the Lakers. But one year, the year Kobe blew out his.
I'm glad you're honest about that way.
Yeah. When you remember the year Kobe blew out his Achilles?
Oh, sure.
So in the playoffs that year, we started, I'm not making this up, Andrew Goudlock and Darius Morris against Tony Parker and Danny Green in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I was on the air going, of course we're going to win. Next man up, blah, blah, blah. I will say this about yesterday. I married myself to the bit because I loved Mace the way you were reacting to it.
Yes.
But I actually believed it. I didn't think the Dodgers could win that game.
You really did.
I just thought
I could tell you, we're all in the studio, and I could tell you believed it.
I thought
you weren't just doing a bit.
Yeah, I thought there were too many injuries. When Urias, you know, when he ran out of gas, when Scherzer was declaring himself that he had a dead arm, and then just watching Justin Turner go down. And when Freddie Freeman hit the home run and Joe Kelly had gone down, I thought, well, this is just, it's not their year. They got too many injuries. And then
by the way,
reverse happened.
The wind got sucked out of that place on that Freddie Freeman home run. And everybody was like, oh, God. Oh, God. And then Kelly left the game and we're like, oh, God. It's just, not, there was a big sense of, oh, my God, not our year, not happening. And then, boy, they turned it around.
Hey, tweet from Vinny, Greg. It's Mega Millions today, $108 million jackpot in the California lottery.
All right, let's cut it in half, and then we'll divide it by four.
Wow. Excellent.
All right, so phones, we're going to open them up.
We can't lose.
Also, by the way, coming up next, Maite, Jorge's daughter, has made a statement.
Excellent.
We will play that for you. Plus your calls, 877-710-ESPN. Ireland and Jorge deserve a spanking today.
Shame.
Give it
Shame.
To them.
Come at me.
Plus, how do you feel about Game 6 tomorrow with Scherzer on the mound? Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah! This is the song I was playing yesterday. Kendrick Lamar, We Gonna Be Alright. By the way, he was at the game last night, and they played the song.
He was at the Dodger game?
Yeah, he was at the Dodgers game last night. They put him on the big board. So, again, timing was everything. So Maite, who is Jorge's daughter, is often a regular on the show. And Jorge tells me she said something. She said something for today's show.
I'm Calvin Leaf, my dad, and John. Good luck for the Dodgers. Never give up. Go Dodgers!
what was the first part?
She says, I can't believe my dad and John gave up on the Dodgers.
She's right.
Never give up. Go Dodgers. That's what she said.
She's
Never
right.
Never give up. Never give up. Especially on a team that's been in this spot before, as recently as a year ago. They're now 4-0 in elimination games, John. 4-0 in elimination games.
All right, so tweet from Yay Herbert Tucker. I firmly believe that L.A. Ireland only said the Dodgers were done and the series was over as a reverse jinx. He's going to do it again for Game 6. Can't trick me. I am not. Yay, Herbert Tucker going to bet against the Dodgers again. I do think that Atlanta is still, Mace, if we were looking at it from like the Fez's perspective, because they're up 3-2 and they have the games at home, I would assume Atlanta is a slight favorite in the series, but I don't know, and I'm done picking against the Dodgers.
I don't know what it is in the series. I know the odds for tomorrow, and the Dodgers are a heavy favorite. They're at minus 170 in that game tomorrow. In other words, you've got to bet 170 to win 100. They are heavy favorites in Game 6 tomorrow in Atlanta. I don't know what the odds are for the series, but for tomorrow, the Dodgers are favored with Max Scherzer on the mound.
Bergman, triple-check something for me.
You got it.
I think the Dodger game is tomorrow afternoon, but...
It is.
But
I think it's 2:05, maybe.
But I read somewhere today, and this is what I need you to check, that if the other series ends tonight, in other words, if Houston ends it, they're going to move the Dodger game to primetime.
Oh, that's a good question. I need to know that because if that happens,
so double check it.
You got to make one of your little schedules.
I got another schedules. Bergman email.
I have to.
The number of schedules Bergman sent
but
out is ridiculous.
I have to.
They may have, because it's just the day before the game, they may have locked in the afternoon time. But I read somewhere that if Houston, the game tonight is in Houston, right, Mace?
Yeah, game is in Houston, correct. Game 6 and 7 there.
All right, so if Houston wins tonight, I believe they will move the Dodgers into that primetime window. So we think the game's at 2 o'clock, but it could be moved to like 4:30, 5 o'clock. So we'll look into that for you.
All right. So a lot of people want to talk about the quitters, John Ireland and Jorge Briones.
Yeah, let's get to them. Let's get to Santiago in L.A. Hey, on line two. Hey, Santiago, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Santiago, great. What's up, man?
Hey, man, fan of the show. Love you guys. Real quick. Shame on you, John. Shame on you, Jorge.
Shame.
Shame. Shame on you. Hey, Mace, have him turn to the corner of the room and just look at the corner.
Hey, by
That's
the
a
way,
good idea, man. But look at the corner.
I will accept any punishment which you guys see fit. And thank you, Santiago, for the phone call. You want to say something else?
Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah.
Go for it.
Basically, punishment for y'all should be no say on Dodger talk. Mace, just go through Mace. Love you guys. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, Greg, you got info on that?
Yeah, so the start time of the NLCS Game 6 will move to 5 p.m. if the ALCS has concluded.
There you go.
Okay, so
right.
I was right.
5 p.m.
Thank you for telling me because I got to do something about
now
that.
Now you're going to write one of your long emails.
Another schedule for everyone.
Can't wait. But I think that – oh, by the way, do you guys know, Mace, you would appreciate this. I think I may have told you this once, but maybe I didn't. If you go back and watch the Game of Thrones shame scene.
Yes.
The woman shaming Cersei.
Yeah, I told you.
Is, I think
Hannah
her name
Waddington.
Is, yeah, and she's the owner of the team on Ted Lasso.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you another thing about the shame walk. I went to 3 years ago, I went to Croatia, and I actually walked the street where Cersei walked in Dubrovnik. We did a really cool split screen of like me and Cersei walking down the same street.
Excellent.
But it's in Dubrovnik in Croatia where they shot a lot of the show.
Let's get Greg in Riverside in here on line three. Hey, Greg, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. You know, nobody's talked about this, and I think it's kind of a big deal. Without Albert Pujols, those home runs would have been 3-2. He got on base three times in front of Chris Taylor. And that's what made the game 6-2. The old man still doing it.
And by the way,
pops from everybody. And
by the way, Greg,
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. But here's Mace. Here's the cool thing. There is speculation that Pujols may retire. He says he wants to play.
But there's speculation also that he wants to come back.
But here's the thing. That would have been an awful way for him to go out.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool and let me extend this to Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor's an unrestricted free agent.
Hey, Corey Seager.
If that was his last home game as a Dodger, and I hope it's not. I think that the Dodgers watched Kike walk away.
Yep.
So I think they'll give Taylor a competitive offer.
Yeah, me too. I think they'll keep Taylor.
But if they don't, what a killer way to play your last game as a Dodger Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really happy for Pujols, really happy for Taylor. And, Mace, I got to tell you, I was happy for you, man. You got to see two incredible games this week.
Yeah.
And you normally, you always say to me, Ireland, I don't know how you do it. You're doing the show, and then you're going to games. And I would just and you kind of exhausted yourself all week. You, like, did the show, got stuck in your car for 2 hours, and your payoff was one lousy game, but two games you will remember for the rest of your life.
No question.
The Bellinger home run and the three Taylor runs. So I was happy for all the Dodger fans that, like, schlepped out there and
got to see some history.
Right.
Got to see history. I mean, the Bellinger home run, now, you know, with a chance to win the series, that Bellinger home run could turn out to be the turning point of one of the biggest series in Dodgers history, another 3-1 comeback. The same thing with the Chris Taylor, three home runs, again, turning point in the series. Chris Taylor, by the way, was terrible down the stretch, Bergman, right? Terrible down the stretch.
They were benching him.
Yeah, they were, because he wasn't able to get a hit. It was the last, like, month of the season, he just couldn't buy a hit.
He hit a walk-off home run in the wild card game and had this big night in game 5.
Yeah,
of the
what a
NLCS.
Two fire what a 2 weeks for Chris Taylor. I mean, you would have thought the highlight of his life would have been the walk off against the Cardinals, and then he comes back and hits three home runs in a game against the Braves. I mean, wow. And he's such a humble guy. You saw Lauren Shahadi interview him after the game, and he goes, "I got to tell you, I don't look cool doing anything. So I was just swinging and hoping the ball went someplace. And he ends up with three home runs. And those Pujols hugs at home plate are fantastic.
By the way, that's why I think Pujols may come back. I think he likes this group, and I think he likes this team. And obviously he's not going to get the same money, but I think he's really valuable. And here's where the prediction I was wrong about was, I said Albert Pujols is going to bat 197 with seven home runs or something like that when he signed with the Dodgers. I did not like the signing. Completely, completely wrong.
Speaking of wrong, here's Mark in Fontana who wants to give me a hard time. Mark, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi. Line five, Greg. Mark, you there? Mark going once.
There you are, Mark.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, you're on the air, man.
Actually, this is Chris in L.A.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to help Mace gloat a little bit because I called yesterday about the theory of gambler's fallacy, and it's one game at a time.
Right.
So, as we said, one game at a time, and that's why, John, momentum doesn't work in baseball.
Or in any sport.
Every game.
Yeah.
Well, in baseball, it's weird, but you can have momentum within the game, but then the next game, it's a completely different game. So, you know, they have a shot, and this is the epitome of baseball. There's no reason we should have won going up against their ace. We had a bullpen. We weren't hitting. Two-run home run first inning for them, but baseball is crazy, and you just have to let it play out. So
there you go.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
We got a good shot.
It's a good call. Thanks, man.
Yeah, and that's why I kept saying yes. The key when you're behind in a series is you have to say, we just need to win one game. That's why I kept saying it yesterday. Do you really not believe the Dodgers can win one game? Of course they can. Of course they can. And that's what they did last night.
Oh, what
it was
a
so
night.
Much fun to be there.
Yeah, I bet.
It was so much fun to be
did
there.
Did you consider for any moment, I know you got a Ram home game this weekend, any moment looking into flights to Atlanta?
No.
Okay.
No flights to Atlanta. But, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I would definitely fly to Houston.
If it's Houston. Well, you've been to both. You've been to both Houston and Boston.
I've been to both. Yeah, I've been to both. Both for losses. We're gonna make up if we get there. I don't want to get too far ahead. I don't want to get too far ahead. But what's interesting is it's conceivable that the Dodgers could play a World Series game on the same day that the Rams play in Houston, which would be a great doubleheader too.
Wow, can you imagine if you spent a day watching the Rams and then, by the way, those two stadiums in Houston are down the street from each other.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that'd be a big day. All right, 877-710 ESPN. We also talk about Lakers Suns coming up there. It's tonight at Staples Center.
Michael's here, so we can get Michael involved in that.
Yeah, we'll get him in here. First meeting since the Lakers lost to the Suns last year, eliminated the Lakers in six games, so we'll get into that coming up too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, these guys were great.
So this is Vicente Fernandez, who gets like a gigantic reaction at Dodger games.
Yeah, they put him on the TBS broadcast.
Yeah, Volver, come back, right? Come back,
yeah.
Right, Jorge?
Yeah, that's it.
And a huge reaction anytime they play. Oh, they put it on the Dodgers broadcast?
Yeah, no, on the TBS broadcast, yeah. They had those guys when they were singing it in the seventh inning. If, I don't know if this is the same mariachi band, but whatever mariachi band was out in left field, they had them on there. The great Michael Thompson is here. Michael, did you watch any of the Dodger game, or were you knee-deep in NBA last night?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're barely on.
Yeah, Jorge, can you crank him up?
Yeah, crank me up there, Jorge. And by the way, if you're going to play Shame music, how come you guys ain't playing Aretha Franklin? Shame, shame, shame. That's the song.
It was just on there.
We just played a version of it.
Yeah, they just played a version of it.
Okay, I thought it was just some other guy said. Last night I was watching one of the greatest regular season games I've ever seen, the Clippers and the Warriors. That was amazing.
Yeah,
a heavyweight
Steph
fight.
Was just a joke.
Newsflash, the Warriors are good.
Yeah.
For people wondering if the Warriors were going to be back in the playoff picture, it's a resounding yes. And they don't even have Clay and James Wiseman back
yet. That's the scary thing about it, Mace, because nobody moves the ball the way they move the ball. They whip that ball around the way you whip around your weed at your parties.
Well, in fairness, Michael, there's only like one corner of my parties where there is
anything
weed.
Goes corner, Michael, at Mason's parties, and you'd be shocked who visits over there. It's like a very eclectic group.
Yeah, I don't ever want to give away. I want to protect people's anonymity, but there are definitely.
Are you kidding? You think O'Shea would be mad if we said he was hanging out in the anything goes corner?
Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, those guys are like signing autographs over there.
Yeah, they are. You're right. Steph apparently hit him from everywhere. Do you think they're a contender, Michael?
Oh, yeah. They're not only a contender, they could win it all. Obviously, they got to be healthy like everybody else. But when Clay gets back, Wiseman gets healthy, they're as good as anybody in the
league. What's the story on your son?
Oh, he's feeling good. He's they're going to be cautious with him. And sometime in December, they'll activate him. He'll start practicing 5-on-5, full drills, I guess, in a few weeks. And then they'll wait a few more weeks after that and activate him. But he'll be ready by, the second half of the season, full bore. And basically, hey, just stand in the corner and just shoot. And I tell him, when you come back, shoot 15 threes a game. Make up for the last 2 years you missed.
Hey, on Clay's Instagram, I'm trying to find the exact quote on Clay's Instagram about the top 20 or top 75 players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Clay sent out a message that said, maybe I'm naive in my ability to play basketball, but in my head, I'm top 75 all time. What do you think?
I'll go LeVar Light here. I was a little bit of LeVar in me. I was disappointed. I think him and Steph are the greatest backcourt in history. And when you are the greatest backcourt in history, you should be in the top 75 somewhere. So I was very disappointed. Not only that, he's got the resume to back it up, at 3 championships. He's got numerous NBA records.
Here's the you always have to ask, who would you take out if you put Clay in? I know,
but I'm not going to say publicly.
I will. I would take out Ray Allen. Now,
I don't know about that.
Okay, but Ray Allen, Steph is going to pass Ray Allen as the all-time.
Easily.
I think Clay's going to pass him, too.
Yeah, same skill set. I just think Clay's better at it.
But it's not fair.
Ray won 2 titles, right?
Yeah, 2, but that's not fair to Ray. 3. That's not fair to Ray because Ray played an era where they might have shot 10, 15 threes a game as a team.
Right.
Now if these guys shoot that much in the first quarter. So it's not fair to Ray. If Ray played today, he'd be as prolific a 3-point scorer as anybody.
Michael, you want to be entertained? There's a whole bunch of people on the phone that just want to destroy me. Starting with Jackie in Newport Beach on line 10. Hey, Jackie, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, Ireland?
Yes, ma'am.
I've been listening to you and Mason for probably 20 years.
Thank you, Jackie.
And I never agree with you except for the Raiders part.
Excellent.
But Mace, we were at the game last night. We were looking for you. We saw JaVale McGee. We thought you'd be by there. Thank you for sticking up for the Dodgers. And we bought tickets. We went. It was so exciting. We were screaming. And I just got my voice back about 10 minutes ago from last night.
Nice. Nice.
So Mason, thank you. But Ireland, shame on you.
Shame on you, Jackie.
Shame. I
agree.
Thank you, Jackie.
Hey,
by the way, I mentioned yesterday I was going to be in Section 4. A bunch of people actually did find me in Section 4. I did some selfie or some pictures with people.
Excellent.
I bought somebody a Michelada. I was like, I'll always say where I am because I love meeting the people, John. Because I love the people. That's what it's about. It's about the people.
Yeah, you. I've never worked with anyone who detests the listeners more than you do.
Commoner? Oh, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Look at the for people. For years, Mason, we've totally switched roles. Mm-hmm. Mason used to refuse to give out any way to contact him in any way. Oh, yeah. And his line was, this was before he came out, his line was, I keep all personal things personal. Mm-hmm. And Mason, now you're the opposite.
Yeah, you remind me of an African dictator.
I'm not sure anything is personal.
Behind the walls and the peasants be damned.
Yeah, listen, here's the thing. I'm the one that always says, thanks for being out there. Thank you for listening. And that is completely genuine. And it's not just people in Manhattan Beach. It's people everywhere. Mm-hmm. People in West Covina, people in Tarzana, people in Rosemead. I love everybody.
Okay, when's the last time you were in Rosemead?
Yeah. West Covina, we did a screening of Black Widow. I go out there all the time.
You showed up for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was there. How much did I schmooze people? It was 10 quality minutes.
When's the last time you
spoke? Hey, wait a minute.
There's a guy online,
AJ in Linwood. Take this guy, Greg, on line 3. It says here, Mace, he bet on Chris Taylor because of you. AJ, what does that mean?
Oh, Mason said Chris Taylor's going to have an outstanding game. So I said, all right, I'm going to bet him to hit a home run. I put $500 on there, and he hit a home run. Well, he hit more than a home run, and I won $500. So I'm going to give Mason his praise. Everybody's giving Birdman's praise, but I'm going to give Mason his praise. Thank you.
Nice. Wow. I'm glad you were a winner last night.
AJ, I thought you'd get better odds than just straight up. You know, if you picked Chris Taylor at a home run, I would have thought that they would have paid you more than $500. But good for you. Money is money.
Juan's dad
AJ.
Dodgers on the money line last night. He was worried after we went down 2-0. I said, relax. Relax.
Relax.
We'll be fine.
Relax.
Exactly.
Should we even go here? Oh, we got a break, don't we? All right. We'll more of your phone calls coming up.
Yep. And I also want to play that Tim Legler clip for Michael and get his reaction to that.
I do too.
It's a really, really big day. It is a celebration Friday. It is a, hey, tomorrow's game 6 Friday. Max Scherzer on the mound. Let's force a game 7, man, with Walker Buehler on the mound. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay. Hey, we're celebrating, man. By the way, I want to throw this at you. A little background for tomorrow's game against Max Scherzer versus Ian Anderson. Here are the batting averages lifetime for Braves versus Max Scherzer. Freddie Freeman, .224. Jock, .179. Travis d'Arnaud, .179. Adam Duvall, .182. Dansby Swanson, .200. Ozzie Albies, .148. Austin Riley, .125.
You didn't hit the one we need.
Rosario's 4 of 11.
Yeah. That's the guy we can. We could.
I skipped that because I want to give off
right,
good news.
But we could just walk him like they did to Barry Bonds that one year.
Yeah, what is he like? He's something like 10 for 16.
Oh, he's better than that. I at one point when he came to the plate last night, he was 13 for 20.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's just unconscious. Unconscious.
Yeah, so maybe just walk the guy.
Well, you got to pitch him real careful. You're not going to give him anything to hit right now because he is fire right now.
You know what,
he
John? John, I think I'm going to agree with you on something here. Mason is completely Pollyanna about everything. He got it right. We got it right yesterday, Mace, but you refuse to say anything negative, period, though.
Wait a minute. I already said I thought Dave Roberts screwed up by letting Brewster Graterol hit instead of going to a pinch hitter.
Okay, so I have an issue with you, and there's a guy online. Wait a minute. Here's George and Carson on line 2.
Okay.
Hey, George, you got a problem with Dave Roberts too, right?
I do, guys. I don't want to jump on him, but I've been saying this for a while. I feel like Dave, I would just love for them to please stop playing, especially with Albies up and with Freeman up. Stop playing the shift. Play a standard defense. You know what I mean? I can't stand when I look and I thought, oh, my goodness, it's going to be one of those nights when Albies hit one right down the third baseline.
Right,
and
but you know, George, you know that they
two-run home run.
George, that's all analytics. The Braves do it too. The right. reason they play the shift is because they have hitting charts.
Yeah, they're playing them percentages. And like Dave so says, if Freddie Freeman, the margins.
If Freddie Freeman hits the ball to the right side of the infield 75% of the time, why wouldn't you put an extra infielder over there?
At the same time, though, guys, they've been saying that all series, and these guys continue to slap the ball down.
Right, I know the Rosario down. At bat you're talking about. He just sort of poked one to
Rosario
the left side
is
of the
Rosario is insane. He's the hottest baseball player hitter on the planet right now.
Can I say this too, guys?
Yep.
Can I say this too?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, George.
Regarding Clay Thompson, a no-brainer, should be in the top 75, and the guy that I would pull out, and this might sound bad, but Drexler. Clyde Drexler.
Ooh, Michael, that's a tough one for you because you played with Clyde.
Yeah, he deserves to be in there, man. Clyde was a great
player.
He was playing, when he was in his prime, it was a question between him and Jordan, who was the best.
Michael, who was the biggest oversight? It's not Clay. Was there anybody else you thought was a gigantic oversight in the 75?
I think Dwight might be in there.
Dwight, I think, is the biggest oversight. Yeah, Dwight is going to the Hall of Fame.
8-time All-Defensive Player. 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, I believe.
I think four.
Four.
Was dominant for a decade.
Yeah, he really was. And NBA champion. Yes, a gold medal winner. So, yeah, I think he was grossly overlooked.
Yeah, I think Dwight might be the biggest oversight of anybody for the top 75.
Thanks, George, for the phone call. Mace, I think people that criticize Dave Roberts are literally, it's the epitome of nitpicking.
Although, yeah, here's the thing. I think it's fair to criticize or to be critical of a decision in a game, despite the fact that you win. So I don't.
Right, but I'm saying these like people the guy that call, at the game, the people that call for his head.
The guy at the game the other night when I was at game, what was that, 4?
Yeah.
The guy chanting, "Fire Dave."
It's
that
absurd.
Guy's an idiot. But if you want to choose a moment and say, I would have done something different, I think that's okay. You're allowed to do that. That's part of baseball, is second guessing.
Here's Ross in West LA on line 1. Hey, Ross, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. So Chris Taylor's my favorite player. I was at the game last night. I was also at the wild card game and the belly bomb game.
Nice.
But there's one little trivia from last night. So everybody's talking about CT3. Everybody's talking about 3 home runs. But did you guys know that the duration of the game last night was exactly 3 hours and 33 minutes?
Wow.
All right. So Chris Taylor, who wears number 3,
yep,
hit exactly 3 home runs in a game that lasted 333.
Wow, there's some numerology for you. Wow. I love that, man.
That's crazy. Thanks, Ross, for the phone call. So if you're into that stuff, there you go. That's right up your alley.
So, Bergman, what's your beef?
My beef is that we have to at least say when they're doing some things wrong. I know you're saying the stuff about Gratterall, which didn't really make a lot of sense.
Wait a minute. Gratterall going 2 innings made complete
sense. No. What didn't make sense was him.
Having him hit.
Yeah having him hit and then not putting him in.
I think they just had a brain cramp.
Well, they said
something happened.
I don't
after,
think they wanted to burn a bat.
That's exactly
that
okay, but they, exactly
if
what it was.
That makes sense. That's the case. Why not give a bat to Urias, who's a much better hitter than Gratterall?
That's a totally fair point.
Could have done that too.
Urias did pinch hit later in the game, right?
I can't remember.
I think he did bat last night.
I don't think so. But he could have there, and he's a better hitter than. I mean, Kershaw is a good hitter, but he's not on the roster, right? Clayton?
Kershaw's
not
no, he's not on the
roster.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely not on the roster.
And by the way, is it official that that David Price is going to replace
yes.
Joe Kelly?
Yeah. That okay. is done.
All right.
But it's also, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday, how they used the pitchers down the stretch was a problem. How they used Julio Urias in the 8th inning when they shouldn't have used him there, that was a problem.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
Say those things.
Scott Boras, who represents both Julio and Max Scherzer.
And Corey Seager, I think.
And Corey Seager.
And Cody Bellinger.
Here's what he said about Scherzer and Urias the other day. He says, I don't think anybody in my position who represents a starting pitcher wants them pitching in relief. It's a routine interruption, and routine interruptions scare you. Now we've seen in postseason the teams do this. The players are always wanting to do it because they want to win, but that's not necessarily their choice. And there is a huge contingency out there who believes that the Dodgers were very, very unfair to Julio Urias by putting him in this position where he pitched like four times in 13 days.
Well, I told you the feedback I got on social media was they would never do that to Kershaw or Buehler or Scherzer.
And I think that is completely fair criticism. If I go back and look at this series, the mistake was using Urias in that position.
Here's section 108 in Inglewood on line 9 with a question I want to see if you agree with. Hey, section 108, what are you doing?
Hey, what's going on? A couple comments.
What's up,
108? Number one, I like Gavin Lux, but we have to keep him off the field.
Do we? What if his bat gets hot?
He's gotten cold.
Well, let me finish. I'd rather be uncomfortable with whoever backs him up that one time at bat than feel uncomfortable every at bat at defense. Let him have his one time at bat in a pitch relief batting situation. But you can't let him get on the field. He was terrible at second base, which is why in the playoffs they moved him into the field in the first place, because they expect him to see less activity out there. But in that one game, his mistake in the outfield directly led to 5 points.
Yeah, you're
right. You can't allow that to happen again.
Yeah.
And John, yesterday you were right on point. The perfect comp for Russell Westbrook's game is Wade. And if you remember correctly, it took quite some time for LeBron to gel with them before they were successful. And people keep coming up with this nonsense, I need to see it work first. I'm sorry. I need to see a LeBron James-led team not work first and not be successful before I start doubting the king. And it took a while for me to come onto his side, but I'm over full-blown. And I have to bring up, if you don't mind, the second greatest sports trade in L.A. sports history was when you guys pulled off that great trade to get Bergman back for Lindsay. That is the second greatest sports trade ever, right behind Mamba for Floppy Vladdy Divac. And yes, you could call me the president of the Bergman fan club, but he is the hardest working man at 710. I've been listening to L.A. sports talk since Kylie and Booms was in this time slot. Yeah, and Tony and Andrew was right before him. And you guys are the best sports talk in all of L.A., hands down. But when Bergman is with you, you become the best sports talk in all of L.A. history.
Wait till Bergman wins us the lottery and we all quit. Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you for the phone. I just want to point out, because I don't want to be unfair to Lindsay, who did a great job for us, but that was not a trade. That was a decision from management. And we're happy with it. We are very happy with Lindsay. We're very happy with Bergman. I'm glad Greg is back on the show. And I agree, Bergman does a great job. The thing I like about Bergman is, you know, John, you grew up in L.A.
Yes.
Cut this.
Bergman grew up in L.A., which I think counts for some. I've been here 35 years, but Bergman grew up in L.A. He's a Dodgers fan. He's a legit Lakers fan. He's a legit UCLA fan. All that stuff is good to have on the show. So I agree that Bergman is a great addition to the show.
Okay, so...
I also agree we're the greatest sports talk show in history.
That guy...
No, not better than Loose Cannons.
Loose Cannons?
Oh, I forgot.
That show's been off the air for 15 years.
Well, that's history, of course. That's history. Yeah. But hey, what's the lottery if Bergman wins it? 100 and what?
108.
Ooh, I got to do the math on this.
Yeah, we're split four ways.
You can't retire on that.
$25 million?
Oh, you can't retire on $108 million?
No, because you got to split it four ways, 25, give the government half. That's 12.
Oh, come on.
That's enough for me.
That's enough for
you. We're not all you, Michael. We're not building fancy palaces at the beach, man.
$108 million
means nothing to Michael Thompson.
Yeah. No, but you got to
$10 million. No, but what he's saying is by the time you chop it up.
Yeah.
So $108 million would be $26 million each, and then half of it goes to the government. So it'd be $13 million each.
13.
Mike, you don't think I can make it on $13 million?
$13 million at 4% interest. Let's see. That's $520,000 a year.
Yeah.
Cash tax-free.
It's less than Luol Deng made when he played for the Lakers.
Could you live on that, George? $520 a year?
Yeah,
tax-free?
Yeah, sure.
If you can't live on $13 million, you really are living life wrong.
Yeah.
$13 million is enough for any – that's generational. I know it's not for you, Michael.
Yeah, but Michael and I are elitists. There are certain things that we need that cost a lot of money. Oh, I can't even come close to my private plane for $13 million, can I?
And George, you're going to move to some, neighborhood, probably by $6 million on a home, so that takes it down to $7
million. I'm staying right in my house.
Hey, Mike, what's it going to cost me to get that plane you like, that new one we saw the other day?
Oh, that G4?
Yeah.
It's a brand new? Brand new is about $40 million.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm still flying coach, guys.
Yeah, you can get a good used one for about $8 to $10 million.
All right. Somebody sell me a plane for $8 to $10 million. I mean, all right. So when we come back, that guy mentioned the dilemma that people are saying about Russell Westbrook, and Tim Legler brought it up the other day. We'll get Michael's thoughts on that. By the way, great game tonight at Staples Center. And Mace, what'll be interesting is Phoenix, who the Lakers are playing tonight, laid an egg in their opener. They lost at home to Denver, and both Devin Booker and Chris Paul were terrible. So there's going to be two teams tonight that are mad because they both lost their opener. So tonight could be really fun.
Coming up next, we'll get Michael's reaction to that Tim Legler stuff about Russell Westbrook. It's Lakers versus Suns tonight at Staples Center. LeBron has just said something interesting to Dave McMenamin. We'll get that coming up for you, too. Plus, it is a Celebration Friday. Despite all the doubters, Jorge Ireland, despite all the doubters, the Dodgers win last night and force a Game 6 tomorrow in Atlanta. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.